This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah al-Ali al-A'la. Al-Ladhi khalaqa fasawwa. Wal-Ladhi qaddara fahada. Ashhadu annahu la ilaha illa hu. Lahu al-asma'ul husna. Wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. Sahibul maqamil mu'alla. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ما كان محمد أبا أحد من رجالكم ولكن رسول الله وخاتم النبيين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنا خاتم النبيين لا نبي بعدي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Honorable علماء Respected brothers, mothers and sisters, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has multiple names and he has multitudes of titles. The scholars have written that when a person has multiple names and a plethora and multitude of titles, it is indicative of the greatness of the individual. And it is for that reason that entire books have been written just on the various names and the titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I have been requested to elaborate, to unpack the meaning of one of the foremost titles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that is the title of Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets, the finality of the scale and chain of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a title which is exclusive to Nabiyuna Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the verse which is central to this title, the verse in which this title is made mention of, is a verse of the 22nd juz of the Quran Kareem, Surah Al-Ahzab. And that will be my starting point. Whilst many of us may be au fait, we may be aware of this verse and its basic meaning, the idea is to try and unpack it and to elaborate on the deeper meanings of this particular verse. Allah says in the first part of this ayah, مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ There is a context, there is a background. In the science of tafsir, you say shan and nuzul. What led to the revelation of this particular verse? There was a sahabi by the name of Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. His story is a very interesting one. He was a young lad, he was a young boy, and then he was kidnapped and he was sold as a slave in Makkatul Mukarramah. Then he was purchased by a woman who gifted him to Khadija radiallahu anha, who in turn gifted him to Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to free slaves. The habit of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to encourage other people to free slaves, even though slavery was in vogue and was in practice in those days. So the Nabi of Allah freed him, and because he was a young boy, he was a young lad, he grew up in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like a son. He was like a son to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And people, as per the custom and the norm of those times, they started to assume him to be the actual son of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In those days, if you were an adopted son, at some point they gave you the status, the maqam, and the position of a biological son. So when he divorced his wife, and there was now a possibility of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam marrying the same woman, Zainab radiallahu anha, society objected that how can you marry a woman who was previously your daughter-in-law because this is your son? And Allah wanted Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam to marry this woman to abolish this wrong notion that if you look after someone, if you look after a young man, then automatically he becomes your son. The Nabi of Allah, because of his greater character, his greater akhlaq, because of the beauty of his values, he looked after the lad. But there was no biological relationship. There was no biological connection. So therefore, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala clarified, because the Nabi of Allah had male offspring. He had sons who were born to him, but they passed away in infancy. And then there was one son who was born after the revelation of this verse in Medina, Ibrahim, but he also passed away in infancy. Hence Allah says in the initial part of this verse that مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the biological father of any of your menfolk. He's got no sons. Zayd is someone who grew up in the custody and under the guardianship and tutorship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he is not the biological son of the Nabi. And then Allah says that walakin, so Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the biological father of any of your men. Yes, he was a biological father of a few male babies who passed away in infancy. So he's not the father of a biological male. Walakin Rasulullah, he is the messenger of Allah. Wa khataman nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets. The final messenger, the final Nabi, the final Rasul. Now what is the coloration? What's the link? Why does Allah talk about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam not being the biological father of any of the menfolk, yet thereafter Allah talks about him being the final messenger? What's the link between being a final messenger and not being the father of any of the males of Makkah al-Mukarramah? And this is where the Mufassireen have unpacked it so beautifully. They say that Allah is highlighting to us. Allah is highlighting to us that whilst Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the biological father of any of the men, he's the spiritual father of every male that is living and will live up to the day of Qiyamah. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. So he may not be a biological father, but he is the spiritual father. To such an extent that on the day of Qiyamah, he will come with the most followers. He will come with the most amount of spiritual sons. How many sons can a man have in one lifetime? How many? 20, 30, 40, 100? Yet the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will come as the spiritual father of not billions but trillions of men on the day of Qiyamah. And in one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of Qiyamah, the various anbiya will walk with their followers. Some will have only two or three people, but I will have the greatest number of followers. And that's why he encouraged us, تَزَوَّجُ الْوَدُودَ الْوَلُودِ, that when you marry, one of the intentions with which you need to marry is to increase the number of the followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now a spiritual father has more compassion, has more care for the spiritual son than even a biological father has for the biological son. And every Nabi was a spiritual father to his followers. But there was a difference with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And hence, I'm explaining the two parts of the verse, why Allah speaks about biological fatherhood, and then Allah talks about spiritual fatherhood. So every Nabi had a spiritual concern for all of their spiritual children. But when you are the final Nabi, then you have a greater concern. Because you are like that father. One is you have a father who knows that if I have to die, I have brothers, I have relatives, they'll take care of my children. But one is that father who knows that the day my eyes close, there's nobody that will come after me. Now such a father will have greater concern, greater affection, greater love. Hence, the aspect of Khatamun Nabiyyin is brought into this particular verse to show that there was no father ever to have lived that had greater concern for his children than Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are his children. 1400 and almost 40 years later, this progeny of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continues. Even though his enemies used to mock at him, they used to scoff at him, they used to refer to him as Abtar. They used to say that no one will remember you. You'll have no legacy because there'll be no male offspring to continue your name. There is no man in the annals of history who is as loved, as revered, and as recognized as Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In this very country of yours, not too long ago, they did a survey that what is the most common name given to a newborn anywhere in the world? And by far, the most common name given to a newborn is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So none of his male offspring lived. That was the wisdom of Allah. Allah knew best why. But how many millions and billions for centuries thereafter up to now and from now up to the day of Qiyamah will not only believe in him but will love him, recognize him and acknowledge him. Every minaret of every masjid, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Medina is amongst the most visited of sites in the entire planet. And this is what Allah wanted to highlight. وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. He knew that there was no one that would come after him. How did he know? How did he know? Because the Quran has spoken so emphatically about the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah ﷺ. The scholars have written that there are almost 1,000 ayat, almost 1,000 verses of the Quran that speak either directly or indirectly to the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are over 200 ahadith that talk about the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the science of Islamic terminology, there is a term known as tawatur. I don't want to go into, you know, a deep academic discussion, but to put it to you in simple terms, tawatur means that something is so well narrated that it is beyond any doubt. It is beyond any doubt. Let me give you a simple example. This masjid exists. All the people of Birmingham know that this masjid exists. So if somebody in South Africa hears that there's a masjid in Birmingham known as Masjid Ali, and it was opened by the Imam of the Haram, Abdurrahman bin Abdul Aziz al-Sudais, so many people are aware of the existence of this masjid, so many people talk about it, so many people narrate it to other people, that even that person who has not seen the masjid will have to believe in the existence of the masjid, because the number of people who have seen it and narrated it has reached such a number that there can be no doubt that the masjid exists. That is tawatur in simple terms. So this finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is part of the core and the essential beliefs of Islam. And the ayat of the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that talk about this concept that he was not only a messenger, not only a Nabi or a Rasul, like Allah had sent 124,000, but he was the Nabi, the Rasul, the final Nabi, the final Rasul, وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. So this is the one verse which is central to this concept, the title, the seal of the prophethood. Seal by its very nature, by its very definition, is something that stops a process. That whatever is within it and whatever is beneath it and whatever is before it now comes to an end. There are other verses of the Quran Kareem which talk to this belief. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ. Every Nabi was sent to a specific nation, to a specific geographical location. But Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to the entire mankind. Why? Because there was no one to come after him. So his message had to be relevant to everyone. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah talks at length about the different Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah talks about Ibrahim alayhi salam. Number of verses dedicated. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ رُشْدَهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَكُنَّا بِهِ عَالِمِينَ. Then Allah talks about Lut alayhi salam, Nuh alayhi salam, Dawud alayhi salam, Sulaiman alayhi salam, Ayyub alayhi salam, وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِدْرِيسَ وَذَا الْكِفْلِ. Allah talks and makes reference to them. وَذَا النُّونَ Yunus alayhi salam, وَزَكَرِيَّا. Allah takes all of their names and Allah makes mention of some incident or the other. وَأَيُّوبَ إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ أَنِّي مَسَّنِيَ الضُّرُّ. Ayyub alayhi salam was afflicted by sickness and difficulty. وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا. Zakariya alayhi salam had no children. Oh Allah, don't leave me without kids. وَذَا النُّونِ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا. Yunus alayhi salam got angry with his people and he left. This surah of the Quran is known as Suratul Anbiya. the surah of the prophets. Yet Allah talks about all these other prophets by name. Ibrahim, Dawood, Sulaiman, Zakaria, Lut, Nuh, Ismail, Idris, Dhalkifl. But when it comes to our Nabi, Nabiyuna wa Habibuna wa Mawlana Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah doesn't need to take a name. Allah suffices by saying, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have sent you as a mercy unto the entire universe. Not only the planet, the entire universe. Now if someone from the 124,000 Anbiya has been sent as a mercy unto the entire universe, logic will tell you there's no one that can come after him, there's no one that can succeed him. And that's why Allah says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. Islam did not start with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Islam started with Adam alayhi salam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concluded that message of Islam, which was the central same message. The rulings from one Sharia to the other may have differed. We perform five times salah in another Sharia, they may have been performing another number of salah and namaz. But the central belief, Tawheed, Risalat, Akhirat, Jannat, Jahannam, that was one message from Adam alayhi salam until Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But after the Nabi of Allah, Allah made it very clear, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ. There can only be one deen now going forward, because this was the last of the prophets. خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ. So this is how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew, because there were a number of verses. Then there are a number of ahadith. I mentioned over 1,000 verses, 200 ahadith, but we just mentioned a few, the more prominent ones. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah, there is this narration when it is mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and listen to this, that my name, not the name Muhammad, or not the name Ahmad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but my title, this very specific, this very unique, this very exclusive title, Khatamun Nabiyyin, it was ingrained on the Lawhi Mahfuz, on the preserved tablet by Allah, when Adam alayhi salam was still in the transitional phase of clay. Adam alayhi salam was still being created. His physical stature, his physical body was still being created. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's title as seal of the prophets, Khatamun Nabiyyin, was already engraved in the Lawhi Mahfuz, in the preserved tablet. And when something is engraved there, it never changes. It never changes. That's why Hudhayfa radiallahu anha says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَنَا خَاتَمُ النَّبِيِّينَ لَا نَبِيَّ بَعْدِي. I am the seal of the prophets. I have come to conclude the chain of revelation and messengership from the creator to the creation. There can be no Nabi after me. In today's time and age, it's easy to understand that there cannot be a Nabi. One is because you cannot find a man the caliber of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm giving you a logical explanation. But then also, let's take another statement of the Nabi of Allah. He says, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر. Forget somebody being of the caliber of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. You can't find anyone today, or from the time of Umar till the day of Qiyamah, you can't find anyone who is the caliber of Umar, let alone the caliber of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So if the Nabi of Allah said, لو كان بعدي نبيا لكان عمر, if Prophet would had to continue, then Umar would have succeeded me. If Umar was not good enough to succeed Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how can there be any other human after Umar good enough to succeed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You see, Islam is not in contradiction with logic. I want to tell you something. I don't want to get too philosophical on a Friday afternoon in this good old British weather. But there's something called khilaful aql, and then there's something called ma wara'ul aql. Khilaful aql means in contradiction with logic. Islam is not in contradiction with knowledge, because Islam has been designed by the creator of knowledge. And Allah has created balance. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. There's a very delicate balance to Islam. But there are many teachings of Islam that are ma wara'ul aql, because the human intellect is limited. It's finite. And the wisdom of Allah is unlimited. It's infinite. So if there are many teachings of Islam which can be easily explained on the scale of logic, like I've just explained to you in light of that statement, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيًّا لَكَانَ عُمَرٌ. The teachings of Islam are logical. And where we find them not to be logical as per our standards, then it is because our standards are limited and the standards of Allah are unlimited. So I will share with you another statement of the Prophet ﷺ in this regard. The Nabi of Allah said, I am the last of the prophets and you are the last of the ummas. You see, you and I, brothers and sisters in Islam, we are fortunate. We got lucky. Nowadays they say you hit the lottery and how many million pounds you win? From rags to riches. Maybe you're living in squalor, you're living in poverty. We have it in South Africa also. So a person is living in a shack, in an informal settlement. No electricity, no water, no sanitation, no food, nothing. They go buy one ticket, they scratch, and overnight you become a billionaire. Majority of those who have won the lotto, they died bankrupt. Because easy come, easy go. There's wisdom in the teachings of Allah. Why has Allah made gambling haram? You and I, in our logic, we may think, hey man, why can't I go and scratch the ticket? I must work for 30 years to buy one home. I must save for 20 years to make one trip for Hajj. Let me go in. Maybe I get lucky. 20 million pounds, 30 million pounds. I don't know what's the sum total of the lottery here in your country. Right? But look at statistics. The majority of people who won the lottery, they die bankrupt and they die depressed and despondent. There's no barakah in the money. And when it comes to you suddenly, without an effort, you don't know how to deal with it. They party, they give everybody a good time, and then when the money is finished, and you may think, but how can you finish so much of money in one lifetime? Even they can't tell you how they finished it. And like that money vanished, then all the friends vanish. So anyway, people in this world, if you hit the lottery, they say, hey, you're lucky. But think about you and I. We were born 1400 years after the fact. We made no effort. We were not entitled. But Allah chose us to be from the ummah of Khatamun Nabiyyin. We could have been from the ummah of Adam alayhi salam, or Nuh alayhi salam, or Musa alayhi salam, or Isa alayhi salam. You and I, without any effort, without any achievement on our part, Allah made us from this ummah, which is the last ummah. So like there is privilege with the last Nabi, there is also privilege and honor with the last ummah. We hit the lottery of life. We have won the lottery of akhirat. It's now up to us, like that person who wins the lottery, what he does with that money after he's won and, you know, he's achieved what many people had aspired to achieve. Faqih Abu Layth Samarqandi rahmatullah alayhi, in his Tanbihul Ghafilin, he talks, I don't have the time, I'm not going to go into the details, that one day Musa alayhi salam made dua to Allah. And he asked Allah for a number of things. And Allah accepted every dua, every supplication. Until he said, oh Allah, make me the last prophet. Allah said, no, that is exclusive for Muhammad bin Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, okay, if that is exclusive for him, then make me from his ummah. And Allah said, no, Musa, even that has not been decreed for you. You are Kalimullah. You've got that title, but you won't have the title of Ummati. You and I, where are we in front of Musa alayhi salam? But that which he desired, and that which every Nabi desired, to be from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah has granted you and I that title. Last Nabi, last Ummah. Best Nabi, best Ummah. Last to come to this world, first to enter Jannah. Last Ummah to be born, first to enter Jannah. That's the lottery of life that you and I have hit even before we were born. Allah had decreed that we would be born into the Ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Mishkat, there's a narration where the Nabi of Allah says, I am Imamul Anbiya. I am the leader of all the messengers. Wala fakhra. I don't say it to boast. I state it as a matter of fact. It is an amanat that Allah has put on my shoulders that I need to tell you that I am Imamul Anbiya. I am Khatamun Nabiyyin. I am the seal of all the prophets. I don't say it out of arrogance or out of pride. Wala fakhra. I say it as a matter of fact. I am the first that will intercede on the day of Qiyamah. I will be the first whose intercession will be accepted. I don't say it out of pride, but I say it as a matter of fact. Now, let us unpack. I've taken you through a journey of that very famous verse of the Quran. مَا كَانَ مُحَمَّدٌ أَبَا أَحَدٍ مِّن رِجَالِكُمْ وَلَكِنْ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَخَاتَمَ النَّبِيِّينَ. Just to get a bit of a deeper, a broader understanding of the nuances in the verse. But why? Why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the seal of the prophets? Why not Adam alayhi salam? Why not Musa alayhi salam? Why not Isa alayhi salam? Why not Dawood alayhi salam? Sulaiman alayhi salam? They all had their virtues. They all had their specialities, their khususiyat. And we believe in all of them and we revere all of them and we respect all of them. You know, one day I was sitting with one of our senior scholars in South Africa, and one Christian person came to accept Islam. And the scholar told him something so amazing. He said, you know, your whole life, what were you believing in? He said, Jesus Christ. He said, do you know in Islam, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you can't be a Muslim? The man was shocked. He said, what? He said, yes. In Islam, we revere every Nabi. As a Muslim, if you say, I don't believe in Jesus Christ, Isa alayhi salam waliyadu billah, you're not a Muslim. If you say, I don't believe in Musa alayhi salam waliyadu billah, you're not a Muslim. However, why is it that we say that Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger? Why him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? There are many reasons that I can mention and that the scholars have spoken and that the scholars have written. But primarily, I'll talk about two points. The one is because he was the best. And in English, as they say, you save the best for last. So if he was the best, he had to come last, even though his position was established prior to the creation of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. You have to have the best at the last. And after the best that has come, there's no one else that can come. Hence, Khatam al-Nabiyyin. If you do not believe, and this is an important point for us to understand, I'm putting it to you in simple logic, because today we live in a world where there's a lot of ideological confusion. So I'm taking you through a theological discussion for us as Muslims to understand our belief better. All of us believe that Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Khatam al-Nabiyyin. But we're taking you down a theological discourse so you can understand it better. And it will firm your belief and it will cement your aqeedah. Then why is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the last? Because he's the best. And a Sayyidu Wuldi Adam. I am the leader of the entire progeny of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Wala fakhr. I don't say it out of pride, it's stated as a matter of fact. The liwa'ul hamd, the flag of praise, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, will be in my hands on the day of Qiyamah. Every Nabi and every follower of every other Nabi will have to follow me on the day of Qiyamah. So because of his position as the best, he had to come last. And after he came, there's no other Nabi that can come. Why did Allah bring him last? Because every Nabi, as I explained, came to a particular period, to a particular people. But you had to bring the best for last, because his teachings had to encompass all of humanity, all of jinnkind, the entire universe, and his legacy had to prevail up to the day of Qiyamah. So the best had to come last. And Allah has shown us signs as to why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is considered to be the best. On the occasion of Isra and Mi'raj, it's a famous incident, we know about it, but this is the lesson that I want to highlight. Ibn Hajar rahimahullah has written in his Fathul Bari, which is the greatest commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari. He says, have you ever thought that Allah sent the Burak for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Right? And we know about the speed of the Burak. Even that Concorde that has been put into retirement cannot match the speed of the Burak. Now why is it that Allah did not take Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Makkah directly to Sidratul Muntaha? Why was there a stopover transit in Al-Masjid Al-Aqsa Al-Mubarak? Why? And Ibn Hajar rahimahullah gives the answer. He says, Allah wanted to show that this is not a Nabi only of the East, but this is a Nabi of the West also. Allah wanted to show that this is not only a Nabi who will lead ummatis, but this is a Nabi who will lead all of the Anbiya. So Allah brought Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Masjid al-Aqsa, which was the headquarters of the Banu Israel. And the majority of the Anbiya came to the Banu Israel. Now in their headquarters, the Azan was given by Jibreel alayhi salam. The Iqama was given by Jibreel alayhi salam. And now every Nabi is wondering who is worthy of leading the Anbiya in Salah, which is the greatest act of Ibadah, on such a blessed place like Masjid al-Aqsa, which is the headquarters of the Anbiya. And Jibreel alayhi salam took Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam by his hand and told him that you are Imamul Anbiya. You will lead the galaxy of 124,000 Anbiya in Salah before Allah. Why? Because Allah wanted to establish that not this is not just a Nabi, this is the greatest Nabi. This is not just a leader, this is the greatest leader who is the leader of the Anbiya. This is not just a Nabi, this is the last and final Nabi, Khatamun Nabiyyin. So his virtue and his superiority and his leadership over all the other Anbiya was established when he led them in Salah at their own headquarters in Masjid al-Aqsa al-Mubarak. Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came last, the other Anbiya alayhi wa sallatu wa sallam were dependent on his spirituality, on his grand spirituality. Now you may think, how? And the ulama have given us these answers. You know, at night, when you look into the sky, what do you see? You see the moon and you see the stars. Now if you study science, you ask them, where does the moon derive its light from? Where does the stars derive its light from? They'll tell you from the sun. But the sun is not present at night. Yes. So in the same way that the stars and the moon, the source of their light is the sun. Even though the sun is not present, every Nabi that came from Adam alayhi salam up to Isa alayhi salam, even though Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was absent, their spirituality was rooted and sourced in the spirituality of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why Adam alayhi salam says, this narration is mentioned by Ibn Kathir in his Qisasul Anbiya, that when Adam alayhi salam, when Allah put the soul into him after his body was created and he first woke up after making sajda in front of the Arsh Mu'alla, he looked up and he saw inscribed on the arsh, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Years later, when he was sent to earth, after having committed an error and made a mistake, and he was making tawbah, and he was getting no response, and he said, Oh Allah, I ask you by virtue of your love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that forgive me. Allah said, Oh Adam, how do you know about Muhammad? Says Allah, I don't know too much, but I know I saw that time on your arsh, it's inscribed, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every Nabi's spirituality was rooted in the spirituality of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hence when he came, he had to be the last. There can be none to come after him. He encapsulated every speciality, virtue, and every distinction of every Nabi that came before him. All of their virtues were found combined and simultaneous in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Nabi of Allah was the culmination of the perfection of the achievement of every Nabi prior to him. So if he had perfected and he had culminated all of the virtues and the perfections of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam who preceded him, then it is obvious that there can be none to come after him. Therefore he is Khatamun Nabiyyin. In one narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I have been given the knowledge of all the former and the latter people. I have the knowledge of all those people who came before me, and I have the knowledge of all the people who came after me. مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْ The Nabi of Allah came and he said, what Musa said is right, what Isa said is right, what Dawood said is right. How do you know what they said? Because Allah gave me the knowledge of all the people who came before me and all those who will come after me. That's why the books of hadith are full of prophecies of what will happen up to the day of Qiyamah. Now if a being has all the knowledge of the people before him and the people after him, then there's no one that can match him. Hence there's no one that can succeed him. as a Nabi. Khatamun Nabiyin. Even Isa alayhi salam, we know as Muslims, it is our aqidah, it is our belief, that he will descend prior to Qiyamah. But he will not come as a Nabi. He was appointed as a Nabi in his time. He will come as an Ummati of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he will find that to be an honor for him to come to earth as an Ummati of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Actually, the Nabi of Allah went one step further and said that even if Musa alayhi salam was alive, he would no longer have a status of Nabi. He would have to be a follower and Ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you look at Musa and Isa, that encompasses the two major faiths, Christianity and Judaism. That even if the prophets of those two major faiths were on planet or have to come back to planet Earth, they cannot be a Nabi. So if Isa cannot be a Nabi after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Isa is from the Ulul Azm Anbiya, if Musa cannot be a Nabi, and when Musa is Kalimullah, then how can there be any other human that would come after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam who can be a Nabi? The teachings of Islam are in total synergy with logic, with common sense, as we say nowadays. Unfortunately, it's not so common. They say common sense, but it's not so common. So I'm coming back to the point. We were explaining, why is Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Khatamun Nabiyin? Because he's the best. And once the best has come, no one else can come. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been granted superiority over other Anbiya in six things. Jawami'ul Kalim. Fewer words, greater meaning. Ra'ab, awe. When people used to just come into the presence of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they couldn't look at him. Automatically the gaze would drop. He was the first prophet who was allowed to take the spoils of war. Ghana'im. The entire earth has been made pure. You can perform salah wherever there is no impurity. And then towards the end he says, I have been sent. This is my speciality. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, I have been sent ila an-nasi kaffa, to all of mankind. Wa khutima biyan nabiyyun. And the chain and the silsila of anbiya and prophets comes to an end with me, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he was the best, hence he came last. This ummah is the best, hence it came last. Kuntum khayra ummah. You are the best of nations. Your lifespan is the shortest, like the time between Asr and Maghrib. But Allah put so much of barakah, Allah put so much of reward, Allah gave us Laylatul Qadr, that even though you came for the shortest lifespan, which is on average 65 years, you have the ability and the potential to earn much more reward than those who came before you. And hence, you will be the first to follow your Nabi, who will be the first and enter into Jannah. In one hadith, so that's the one point I've explained, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to be the final Nabi because he was the best. The second point I want to explain is that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to be Khatamun Nabiyyin because with him Allah perfected our deen and completed our deen. There's this hadith in Nasa'i and Tirmidhi, famous hadith where the Nabi of Allah says, the example of all the prophets before me and myself is like a man who has built a house. He's built an entire house, but on the one corner there's one brick that's missing. And people come and they go around the house and they say, wow, what a beautiful house, what an amazing house, what a mesmerizing house. But hey, what happened with this one brick? Until I came and I was that last brick that completed the house and the palace of Nubuwa. Now if anybody brings any other brick after the last brick, then it's an unneeded brick. What are you going to do with it? Put in a paving outside. The house is complete. The house of Nubuwa, there was only one brick missing. And that brick came in the form of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen to these words very carefully, brothers. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam so perfectly paved the straight path that we don't need any old sharia, nor do we need any new Nabi. That culmination and perfection of Islam that took place with Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left us in such an enviable position that we don't need any previous sharia, nor do we need any new Nabi. This sharia, this Quran, this Islam, this Nabi is adequate, it's sufficient up to the day of Qiyamah. And the verse to prove this is Surah Ma'idah, where Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. What is akmalt? Ikmal. Ikmal means to take something to the ultimate objective. I have completed and perfected your deen for you. Now let's not misunderstand. Every Nabi Sharia was perfect. None of it was deficient because it all came from Allah. But absolute perfection and completion, وَأَتْمَمْتُ إِتْمَام, it happened with Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah then says, when was this verse revealed? We know, but we need to remind ourselves. It was revealed when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba were in the state of Ihram. The day was Jumu'ah. The day was Arafah. You know, they say double whammy. Jumu'ah, Arafah. After Asr, the most sacred time on any day and especially on a Friday. Where? On the plains of Arafah, close to Jabal Rahmah. And Allah now reveals the verse, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum Wa Atmamtu Alaykum Ni'mati. I have perfected your deen for you, I have completed my favor upon you. Every injunction from the time of Adam alayhi salam unto Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam had now come full circle, complete. That's why after the revelation of this verse, there was no muhkam verse, there was no verse of injunction, of instruction. It was just verse of targhib and tarheeb, that prepare for qiyamah, prepare for death. Because now the sharia had been completed and it reached absolute perfection. That's why when Umar radiallahu anhu had this verse, he started crying. He understood that if the deen has been perfected and completed, now there was no need for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to remain on earth. Where would there ever be a need for a Nabi to come after that? If after this verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam could leave and go into the presence of Allah, why would there ever be a need for anyone to come after that? If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, physical presence was no longer required. Because Islam had now reached a point where it provided for humanity a comprehensive way of life. That's why we say Islam is not a religion. Religion is what you do either on a Friday, on a Saturday, or a Sunday. Islam is what you do from the time you are born to the time you die, from the time you wake up in the morning to the time you sleep at night. Islam is what you do in the masjid and outside of the masjid, what you do with your wife and your children, what you do with your business associates and your colleagues, what you do with Muslims, what you do with non-Muslims. That is Islam. Islam is perfect for every single soul up to the day of Qiyamah, even though the times may change and the circumstances may change. But Allah has taken it to such a pinnacle of perfection that it will remain relevant and it will be a source of guidance and a way of life for anybody up to the end of time. That's why Allah then concludes that verse by saying, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. I am now happy with only Islam as your deen. Only Islam is acceptable to Allah. This was the climax of Allah's mercy and blessings upon humanity. Look at Allah's favor upon us. Allah gave us the perfect deen. Allah gave us the greatest Nabi. Allah gave us the greatest book. Allah made us from the greatest ummah. That's why when one Jew met Umar radiallahu anhu, he told him, you know, if this verse was revealed to us, we would celebrate it by having a festival. We as Muslims say, no, we celebrate it by being the best. By acting upon the best Quran and the best Sunnah and by upholding the best legacy and by being the best humans that we can be. That is how we celebrate the revelation of this verse. We don't need to have a specific day or a specific festival. That's why there's no need for a Nabi. Even today, we know that the Ummah is not in the best of conditions. I always say this in my talks. Some people, one person so aptly said, he said, half the world is in oppression, the other half is in depression. The condition of the Ummah is a pitiable one. But even now, there is no need for another Nabi. Why? Because firstly, all things progress gradually until they reach completion at the last stage. And when it reaches that stage of completion, that's the highest stage. You can never now repeat that stage. The maqam and the position of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cannot be repeated. Second reason, the message of Islam is accessible to all. It's there. Unlike the previous sharias, it has been preserved in its pristine purity. Every word, every dot, every syllable of the Quran is preserved in the hearts and minds of those who don't even know their mother language the way they know the language of the Quran. Those young children who have not even mastered the art of speaking their mother tongue, whether it's Gujarati, Bengali, Urdu or English, but they can read the Quran so fluently that every syllable is preserved. Every statement of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is preserved with a chain of narrators that has been scrutinized over centuries by the different scholars of ahadith. So Islam is preserved. It's preserved. There has been no distortion that you need a new message. And the teachings of Islam are preserved. Yes, we are in the condition that we are in because we have not practiced upon Islam. It's like if you give somebody a map, you know, you give him GPS, you got it on your phone. Now drive from here to London. The person doesn't use the map and he gets lost. You don't need a new map. You just need to start following. Or if he doesn't understand how to follow the map, you still don't need a new map. You need to learn how to read a map. You need to learn how to read a map. So there's no need for a new Nabi. There's no need for new revelation. Because that Nabi that came, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that revelation that came, Allah had perfected it. Allah had completed it. He was the best, so he came last. He brought the completion and the perfection of Islam. He took it to its pinnacle. He was sent not to one people or not to one location, but to the entire universe, encapsulating men, jinn, animals, and every creation of Allah that we are aware of and those creations of Allah that we are not aware of. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, when we used to walk in Makkah, even the stones used to say, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah." One day one Bedouin came and said, "Muhammad, you know, Bedouins are uncultured. Show me a miracle." So Nabi of Allah said, "Okay, go tell the tree that I'm calling it." The man said, "What?" He went there, he said, he says he's calling you. The tree split the ground, came and said, "Assalamu alayka ya Rasulullah," and retracted back to its position. So the deen is complete, the chain of prophets are complete. Our condition is not because we need a new Nabi. Our condition is we need to start appreciating that final Nabi. We need to start appreciating the lifestyle and the message of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, one of the greatest benefits of being from an ummah of a Nabi after whom there will be no Nabi is that we have a universal ukhuwah and brotherhood. We are all united in the end as ummatis of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now we need to strengthen that ukhuwah. We need to strengthen that brotherhood, because Allah says in that verse which I mentioned in the introduction, "Kuntum khayra ummah." You are the best of people, the best of nations. Why? "Ukhrijat linnas." You have been taken out to promote the legacy of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to humanity as a whole. This blueprint of how to lead a successful life, not only in this world but in the akhirah, is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left for us in Quran and Sunnah. "Taraktu fikum amrayn." I've left two things. This is now sufficient for you and adequate for you. But we need to learn more about the surah, the seerah, more about the sunnah, more about the Quran, so that we can become better ummatis. So that we can not only take pride in the fact that we are the best, but we can live as the best. One is to say, okay, I am from khairul umam, I am the best. That is there. But this is not just a matter of to boast about and to brag about. It's about now live your life as the best. Uphold the legacy. "Ukhrijat linnas." Take the message of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that message which is complete, that message which is perfect, that message which is preserved. Allah says, "I have completed it. I have perfected it. I will preserve it. I have chosen it for you." Now all you need to do is implement it and encourage others to do the same. And in that is the recipe for the success of humanity. So in conclusion, brothers, we need to remind ourselves. I have been talking this afternoon about this unique and exclusive title of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Khatamun Nabiyyin, the seal of the prophets. We went through the verse that he was not a biological father because none of his sons lived, but he was the greatest spiritual father ever to live. Why? Because he knew there was no Nabi to come after him. So his level of compassion for every spiritual son to be born up to the day of Qiyamah is unparalleled. And Allah granted him such a legacy that the most common name on planet earth is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The most revered individual in the annals of human history is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why is he the last? Because he's the best. Why did he come as last? Because with him, the deen of Islam reached absolute perfection and completion. Allah's favor upon us is Allah made us by his choice, not by ours. Allah, by his choice and decree, made us from the ummah of the best Nabi, granted us the best Quran, provided us with the best Sunnah. Now Allah says, "I want you to lead the best of lives." الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا. I don't want to see who does the most deeds, Allah says. I want to see who will do the best of deeds. So our message when we talk about the finality of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reconnect with that legacy. Reconnect with that legacy. Uphold that legacy in the best way. There is no Nabi that has come after Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no Nabi that will come. We have to take the beauty of Islam to the world. But you can only take it to the world if you have beautified yourself with the beauty of Islam. And that's our starting point. You see, we like flowery talks and we like Joshila bayans, but we have to have an action point also. We have to have an action point that today, this great day in this great house of Allah, at this great hour, each one of us needs to take a resolution that, oh Allah, for the remainder of my life, I'm going to try and be the best ummati that I can. I'm going to bring the beauty of Islam into my heart and into my life, and I'm going to take the beauty of Islam to humanity. The Islam of peace, the Islam of love, the Islam of compassion, the Islam of moderation, the Islam of tolerance, the Islam of prosperity. I'm going to bring it into my life and take it to the world. I'll conclude with this thought. Give me the water and I'll explain it. One author so beautifully wrote, he said, one is that man who's stuck in the middle of the desert and he's got no water and he's dying of thirst. That is a person who doesn't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He doesn't believe in Khatamun Nabiyyin. He doesn't believe in Islam. Spiritually he's dying and he's got no spiritual water to quench his thirst. And then that author says, but then there's that man who's dying in the middle of the desert and he's got a cold glass of water in his hand. Who's worse? Whose story is more tragic? We as Muslims, we are dying a spiritual death. We can see that humanity around us is in a state of spiritual paralysis. Yet we have the cold water of Quran and Sunnah. We have the cold water of Khatamul Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen. We're not drinking ourselves and we're not giving others to drink. Let's take that legacy of Khatamul Nabiyyin, saturate ourselves with it, and let it flow as a water of mercy to all the corners of the globe and totally envelope and encapsulate humanity. May Allah grant me and all of us the tawfiq. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.